Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy, they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, Father. Give us that guidance that we need and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this your word. Help us along the way to grow in faith, to grow in strength, Father, and help us to walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ and with your Holy Spirit. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Tell some of you about a book I've been getting for several years. So I'm going to share a little something with you this morning. This is the book. And I told you, it comes 2 months at a time. This is March and April. This book is. So what I'm going to share with you from this morning is today's daily reading. Which is March the 6th. And the title of the reading this morning, Let's Take a Walk. That's the title of it. And he took it actually from a couple of places. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ephesians 4:1. And here's what he's got to say about it. When do we hear the invitation in today's title? Usually there is a reason. Sometimes it may be to go visit another person, or it may be for physical exercise, or for enjoyment of the outdoors. Whatever the reason, taking a walk can be like our life. Expressions such as walk of life, or our joy in life, illustrate this point. We start from a spot somewhere and travel toward another spot. We may or may not know exactly where the goal is. As we make progress, the end may appear in the distance and gradually come closer, or the path may take a sudden turn, and we arrive at the end of the trail without much warning. So also is life. For some, a gradual decline in health and physical fitness signals for years that the end is coming. For others, a life in perfect health ends suddenly in a car wreck or other accidents. Walk involves terrain that raises or falls. Rocks, tree limbs, and other obstacles must be dealt with. Holes in the ground present a potential fall. Ephesians 5:15 warns us to walk circumspicuously. That means to scan the entire area around us, looking carefully for potential issues so we can be aware of them and avoid falling. When a jogger takes his exercise, his pace is swift, his moves determined, his face is set. Very little of the world he passes through makes it worth breaking his stride. This is a good example of how we should be on our spiritual walk. Let's be determined that nothing in this eye-catching world will draw our focus away from heavenly things. Otherwise, we may be distracted and our journey may end in a place that is not our goal. Walk daily with your Savior in fellowship of love, and you shall share his friendship in yon fair land above. That's today's reading. You find a lot of good things in this little book. Like I said, it covers 2 months. I get one every other month. Now, I'll get my next one along about the last week of April. I'll get the one for the next coming month. Because they send them to where you don't miss a day or have to miss a day reading. And it's all good reading. You get scripture with it, where they take it from and everything. And it even tells you who it is that wrote that day's, because they're different writers. They come from all over the place. But just as I was telling you all about it, so I wanted to, you know, let you know about a lot of things that is connected with it. Now, you got Stillwater's ministry in Clarkson, Kentucky. You got a board of directors, which it gives you their name and all. And they're from Clarkson, Kentucky. Then it gives you Canada, Kansas Board of Directors and all, because they're everywhere. These people are everywhere. There's only one thing that I don't think they do enough of. And they don't do enough sharing with the world, because they have their own little group. And they live within just that little group. They're not out trying to get others in, really. They'll accept you if you go, but you have to hear about them and then go, because they're not going to come to you. Now, they'll meet with you if you call them, if you find out about somebody and you've got a way of calling them. And you call them, they'll meet with you. but they don't really get out to share the word and their way of life. And they've got a good way of life. I had told you all, too, about their belief. It's right here on the back of the front cover. We believe the entire Bible is the inspired word of God. All men are guilty before God, need to repent, confess, and forsake their sin, and believe and obey God's word. Acts 2:38, Romans 3:23, Romans 10:9. We believe in believers' baptism. We believe in nonconformity to the world. Well, all of us that know any of them, we know that. But that's what I'm saying. They have nothing to do with the world out here. So they're not really going out as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they really need to, because they've got a good teaching. Women are to wear a head covering. Well, we talked about that. Men are to be the spiritual leaders of the home and church. 1 Corinthians 11:13. They give you scripture where they get all their beliefs from. Now, they don't believe in the use of radio or television. You won't find a radio or television in their home. God's design for marriage is one man and one woman for life. Divorce and remarriage and other deviations from God's design are wrong. We believe it is possible to experience the new birth and later fall away and to be lost. 2 Peter 2:20-22. We believe it is necessary for Christians to seek to become a part of a local body of believers. In other words, church. And they get that from Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 13:17. The church has the authority to make practical applications to the principles of God's word and needs to do so if it will maintain those principles in the lives of its members. Matthew 16:19, Matthew 18:17, and Hebrews 13:17. That is their statement of belief. We don't find many churches that believe that strong today. Not many. All right. But this morning, I've got a couple of things to share with you. Just before we get in to our scripture. Well, we're going to be in scripture, but before we get into our daily service. And one is, I took it from this little book. When they was telling you that they believe in baptism, they gave the scripture as Mark 16:16. And I wanted to share that with you because this is something we all need to learn and have in our lives. So chapter 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And we all need to be walking that way. And that's what the church is really about. Now, I got to church this morning, and I was met with something good right at the door when I opened it up. On your way out, you can see it. I was met this morning just inside the church door by a snake. Little snake met me just as I opened the door. He was inside the church. Well, he lay dead now. But I crushed his head. And he's in that pool right there beside the porch. You can see him on his way out. But I was just letting Satan know he wasn't going to get in this church. Serpent or no serpent. We didn't need him. Gives you kind of an odd feeling, though. You know it, when you open the church door and find a snake inside? It was small. I don't think it was too awful many days old. So there's bound to be more of them around somewhere. I haven't seen any more here inside. But wouldn't surprise me to find another one or two somewhere in here. Because he's about that long. But nevertheless, he's a snake. All right. We're going to be dealing this morning with the rest of Romans chapter 8. So far, we've had two services only on this chapter. And we haven't finished it yet. There's a lot in 8, Romans 8. Romans 8 and Hebrews 10 are two of the strongest chapters in the Bible about how we should walk and how our mankind should walk. So we're going to be picking up here with verse 17. Well, actually 16, because I had quit with 16. I wanted to go back to 16 and bring it forward. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And as children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward to share with you and I the good things that God has for each of us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we back up here now, we found there in 16, God was letting us know that the Spirit, that Holy Spirit, is our witness. And it's also, he's God's witness to you and I. And he lets us know the right things of God. And he also lets us know of wrong things that we do in our life, if we will listen to him. Most of us don't want to listen to him. That's the problem. We don't want to listen to him. And we get in trouble when we don't. Now, in verse 17, he says, and if children then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You know, when you really stop and think about that verse and what you and I truly have and what we can obtain is really beyond belief. Now, we're told at the end of this chapter what some of those things are. But we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We share in all of his inheritance. Think about that. When we are actually born again believers, we share in all of the inheritance that Jesus has. There's nothing withheld from us. Think about it. What would our lives really mean once we really start believing that and mainly start living it? Look what we could do. And this is what God's calling for today. In the way things are around us and in this world today, God is calling each and every believer to work, to do his work, not theirs, but his. We are to be out here doing everything we can do to get others into the kingdom of Almighty God. But how many is doing it? Very, very few. Because they just want what they want up here. They don't even follow their own heart. Because they did, their own heart would tell them that they got something else out there they need more than what they need of this world out here. You and I don't need anything this world's got today. It brings trouble, but that's what most are searching for. Verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time were not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in who? In us. There's glory to be revealed in those that belong to Almighty God. And that's his word. That's not mine. That's his. He's letting us know these things. You know, we have a blessed hope. And we need to be looking for these moments as we study God's word to give you and I a chance of becoming what God really wants us to be. But so many don't. They don't want no part of it. They want this weak, watered down Christianity. I can be saved and then I can just go and do anything I want to do because I'm saved. And I can just do anything now. I can go out here and commit fornication. That's all right. Jesus already covered that. I can go out here and commit adultery. That's all right. Jesus already covered that. No, we can't. In fact, a born-again child of God better not commit anything that he knows is wrong. Because once you know it's wrong, and then you go ahead and willfully commit that, you've got no forgiveness for it. But you try to get a lot, most of your churches to believe that today. No, they don't. And they teach right contrary to it. I know y'all have been to other churches. You're bound to have heard it. And you've talked to other people. And you'll hear it a whole lot when you talk to other people. Especially others that go to church. Because we don't have too many churches out here that's actually teaching you the Word of God. They teach you what man wants you to have. But so you know, I'm not telling you something that ain't so. Let's go to Hebrews. And we're going to go to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. I told you. Told you in the beginning. Romans 8 and Hebrews 10 are two of the strongest chapters in the Bible. And here's what it says. When you think I can, you know, I know that's wrong. But I can get forgiven for it. And I really want to do that, so I'm going to do it. Well, here's what God says about it. 10th chapter of Hebrews, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Once you know that it's wrong, and you do it willfully, there's no sacrifice. But he does go on and tell you what's there waiting on you. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That's what's waiting. You see, that's why God's Word warns us time after time as we go through the New Testament about let no man deceive you. Let nobody deceive you and get you believing contrary to God's Word. Stand on His Word. Because we got a lot out there trying to deceive us. Now, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Creature, he starts out with, of the creature. In other words, creation. And you know, that looks forward to you and I and gives us, as the sons and daughters of Almighty God, a revelation of how we should be walking. That's why we're told, as sons and daughters of God, we are to walk in the Spirit. And we can't walk in something we don't have, can we? It won't work. And in order to get filled with the Spirit so we can walk in the Spirit, there are other things that we have to take care of. We have to sincerely and truly repent. That means we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him know, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need You, Lord. I need you to cover my sins. I need you to come into my life. Take my life, Lord. Do with it what you will. Now that's part. Yes, we need to do it. She's not done yet. Then you've got to be baptized. The right way. Why? Because that's the way we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put him on through baptism. There's something else hard to get people to understand. We got churches out there tell you, oh, you don't even have to be baptized. That's just symbolic. No. And all they had to do is read 6th chapter of Romans and they'd know better. We've done been over that just a few services back. Let you know that that's the way you put on the Lord Jesus Christ through baptism. Then you get into God's Word and you start building your faith. And you put your trust in him. And you begin to stand on God's word and seek for the infilling, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Oh, well, now, you know, no, that all took place when I was baptized. You just get that all at once. No, you don't. Most don't. It'll happen once in a while. But in my ministry, I've only seen it happen one time. And it's a glorious thing to see when they get it all at once. But it don't happen too often. And when you go through the book of Acts, you can see time after time after time where they were baptized and it was time down the road. We don't know how much time, but we know how they had to travel back then. They either walked or rode a donkey or a camel or something. Their trips wasn't real quick. But they had to wait for others to come from other places to them and lay hands on them. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they didn't know anything about it. And disciples, Peter and John was two of them, that done some traveling like that to lay hands on those that had been baptized. And they'd ask them. When they'd ask them about it, we have not even heard as much as there is a Holy Spirit. Then how were you baptized? We were baptized in John's baptism, which was wrong. And that's why they hadn't got it. That's one reason. They took them, rebaptized them, and then waited days before praying with them and then being filled with the Holy Spirit. I was a long time down the road after preaching, after God had called me to preach. And as he told me, all that time that I waited and was preaching, when he told me,
that I hadn't been filled. Then I went to wondering, have I been preaching the wrong thing all this time? He said, no, what you're preaching is right. You're preaching the word. You're preaching it as it's wrote. But the Holy Spirit's been walking beside you, not in you. Because I came through a church that taught you all of that died when the apostles died.
I was raised in a denominational church and wasn't allowed to miss a meeting. Even if mom and dad couldn't go, we always lived close enough I could walk. And they sure seen I went out that door and went. Vacation Bible school and everything every year and all. And I had been filled with so much contrary to God's word, I was a long time before ever being filled with the Holy Spirit. He walked with me, beside me, but he wasn't in me. That's something we all need to think about. Because that's something we have to have if we're going to make heaven our home. But we are being deceived by so many out there. And most of my upbringing in the church was right here in Meade County. Now you wonder how I know we ain't got many churches here teaching you the truth. I was raised here. My first years was right up the Highway 60 here at Grayhampton until I was 7 years old. The government come through and bought all that land, bought the town out to make a reservation out of to train troops for World War II. Then we moved to Akron. I went to Akron Baptist Church until I was in the fourth grade. And Dad was still working war work. Reynolds Middle Plant 12 are loyal. And it was so far for him to go back and forth to work, and he wanted to get closer to work. So we moved to Louisville. But that's exactly what I was taught in this Baptist church right here in Akron. All that died when the apostles died. No such thing as healing anymore. No such thing as those nine gifts of the Spirit anymore. That's what I was taught. I've still got my last year's Vacation Bible School certificate from there where I went. It was kept. And we went to Louisville. Then from Louisville to Valley Station. And then we went to Tennessee. Then back to Kentucky. Back to Valley Station. And then I went from Valley Station to Aberdeen, Maryland. And from Aberdeen, Maryland to Seattle, Washington. And from Seattle, Washington to Korea. I was 17 when I hit Korea. been around a little bit. I never could understand why Mom and Dad couldn't stay one place. Because they sure didn't. I worked at Kingsport, Tennessee newspaper. I was a flyboy on the press. In other words, as the papers come down every 25, there's one turned catty-cornered until you know where it was. And the flyboy would catch them and stack them over the side so they could be carried off. And that's what I did. But why mankind won't accept God's word for what it says? But they don't. And really, as we're going through, I want you to pay attention, because I'm trying to take you through the New Testament, because as we go, you're going to find out just how much of this battle is not taught anymore. Not being taught at all, because it's contrary to what he's got up here in his head. He don't care what this word says. It's what he wants it to say, because all he's there for is to make a great living. He's had everything handed to him. He's making more money per year than most working men, getting everything furnished. These men who pastor these big churches out here, they're not there for nothing. Their home is paid for. Them and their family's medical care is all taken care of. Their phone bills are paid for them. Their gas is paid for them, for their vehicle, and a lot of the churches even buy the vehicle. And then they'll get anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000 salary a year. How many of us would like to get that? Would you like to have that, Dennis? Nice. But that's what they're there for. They're not there to make people, as they call it, mad and leave. Because they got to have that money rolling in, or they won't get that salary. Now, all right. We come on down. Come on down here to verse 20. It says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You see this? Once we go through that plan of salvation and we get to the point of where we're born again, God's word tells you and I that when we are born again, his seed remains in us and we can't sin. So that man is standing up here telling you, you can't live your life without sinning, standing there telling you a lie. God's word done told you. When you're born again, you can't sin. His word, not mine, his. But how many can you get to believe that today? And how many will walk in it even after you tell them about it? No, because they want to do it their way. Do it my way. But I don't believe that. That's just something you've made up. No, it's God's word. And when I walk contrary to God's word, I'm calling him a liar. But it's all in his word. Every bit of it. Now, for we know that the whole creation groaneth in travail in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. You see, we're told in Genesis, when God created mankind, he made him in his image. We're created in God's image. Is he talking about that body? No. Your spirit. That's who you are. Who you are is not that body. That body is a house. It's a home. Or if you're serving God, he calls it a tabernacle even. Because it houses the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That body is going to go back to dirt. That spirit is what was created in God's image. He is a spirit. And that is what we are. And we're a spirit whether we want to believe it or not, or whether we want to live that way or not. And they talk about death. Do you know most the places in the scripture where it's talking about you and death? It's talking about separation from God. Because you, that spirit, is not going to die. Dave, you ain't never going to die.
Amen.
Sue, you ain't never going to die.
Amen.
Now, one day they're going to put that body in the ground. But that spirit is going to go on wherever it's going to be. Whether that's going to be eternity in hell or with him. Think about it. Just as Jesus was. You know, we talk about him being in the grave 3 days. He wasn't in that grave 3 days. He was busy. While his body lay in that tomb, he went into hell. He's up in there for you and I. That's why we don't have to go. He went there and took the keys away from Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ has got the keys. It's in the Bible. But how many can tell you that today? See, these are things we don't stop, and when we read the Bible, we don't stop to see what it's telling us. And we miss so much. And until we get to the point where we can take this Bible and get someplace where it's quiet, go to God in prayer and ask him to open your heart and mind to be receptive and to help you see the truth of his word. Then
start reading your Bible. And if you read it out loud, he'll talk to you. A lot of people don't believe that either, but try it. Now, I've been telling church here that for several weeks, ain't I? Have you tried it, Dennis? Huh?
I've been doing that for years.
Does it work? Read it out loud. He'll talk to you. As you read each verse, he opens that verse up to you. I didn't know that for a long time. Then when I first heard about it, I thought, well, I'm going to try that. And I found out it works. And you'll learn so much more. Because he's talking to you as you go through it. And when you see, you'll read a verse, and then that verse takes on a whole different meaning for you. Now, we all talk about hope. But he's got something about hope too that we have very little of. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And patience is something very few of us have. And there was a time in my life I was one of the worst at it. I didn't have no patience at all. But I was going to do something, I want to do it right there.
Amen.
I want it to happen right now. It took a whole lot going on in my life for me to gain patience. And that's one of the gifts that they claim is gone today. And for the most part it is. That's because man won't take it. It ain't gone. He just won't accept it. There's none of the gifts of the Spirit gone. There's nine of them. They're all still here with us. But mankind don't want most of them. I'm going to go there. I might shouldn't, but I am. And then with this, we're going to close. And I told you about it, so let's just go there to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to read it till I get to that point. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant, but most are. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts. He said there's differences of gifts here, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Wisdom is a gift of the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Knowledge is a gift.
of the Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Faith is also a gift. And we all are given, when we're born, a certain amount of faith. You're given a little faith. Now, it's up to us to build that faith. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. You see, that gift of healing, it's a gift of the Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, disconcerting of the spirits. To know spirits when you run into them, whether they are of God or whether they are of Satan. And to know where they came. To another, different kinds of tongues. You see, there is a gift of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. You may walk with just one. And you may walk with several of them. And you may in your lifetime have a chance to use them all. But it's the Spirit that gives them to you. And he'll give them to you when it's necessary for you to use it. Now those that he does give to you, he's going to leave you with them. See, there's so much that we just absolutely miss out on because we will not accept God's word. Think about it. Then walk accordingly. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word, Heavenly Father, and to help others to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, to help them to begin to understand, Father, your word. Use us all in great and mighty ways, Father. Make of us the church you want us to be, to reach out to the community in which we stand, to help those, Father, that need a Savior. Help us to help them find Jesus. And Father, for those that are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be able to talk with them, to share with them, to help them to grow stronger, stronger in faith, stronger in their walk in your word, so they can be used to a greater extent. Now, Lord, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to take care of them, to see that they're in health, Father. Now, Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, we lift it up. We ask you, Father, to help us to remove from office those that are against the church, that are against the Lord Jesus Christ, that's against our Constitution and against your people. Help us to replace them, Father, with ones that will work for the church, for Jesus. Work with us and help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer list, Father, as each name is called this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to touch each one of them, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Father, for Dennis Lee and his family, for Sue and her family, for David and his family, for myself, Father, and my family, for my wife and her family, for Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, for Amy, and Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Terry Coates and his family. Father, all these families, touch them in mighty and great way, Holy Spirit, so that none be lost and all can make heaven their home. For Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie, that little full gospel church of God there at Akron. Father, all these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand, but also make them a place of refuge, Father, to where the lost walking in darkness can go find light, and that light being Jesus. My three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron. Father, these three, take care of them. Keep them in health and see to their needs as they walk through lands, Father, that if they're caught, it means imprisonment and death. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Monville and her mother, for Payne-Lance Goodman, for Karen, Father. These all stand in need of the healing hand of Jesus. Touch them, Father, in a mighty and great way. Bring about health, Father, and do it in a way where they know it was you, and help them, Lord, all to find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. Now, Father, this church is yours, not mine. You set me here as an overseer. Make of it, Father, what you want it to be. Now, Father, we ask all of this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Another announcement, though, I want to make. There will be no services this afternoon. We are supposed to get 1 to 3 inches of rain with wind and thunderstorms. So I'm not asking anybody to get out in that. I've got to call Brother James to let him know. So, but God willing, we can all be together again come Thursday and back into his word. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a good night now. And God bless. Well, are you off, Dave? You got to work.